The Svastambeth passed away in 1904, 1905, a little over 100 years ago. He was the second Ger Rebbe. And the Maggid of Mezirich, who he is quoting here, who was the second leader of Hasidus, he was Nifter in 1772. That's almost 250 years ago. Now, having that in mind, just a little bit, that will help enhance or emphasize the point he's going to make. And before we learn it, we have to first say a halacha. What this is based upon comes from the Gemara and it's Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says that the Ner Chanukah is lit outside the house. So if your front door was facing a thoroughfare, a Rishus HaRabim, or your courtyard was opening out into a Rishus HaRabim, you'd put the menorah right outside of your door, right near the doorpost, and people passing by could see it. And that's how the mitzvah was done for many, many centuries on the outside. The Shulchan Aruch mentions that there was a time in history where it became dangerous, by threat of death, to light the menorah outside. So therefore, it became the common practice to light the menorah inside the house. And we discussed that a little bit last week, too. So that changed. In Eretz Yisrael, nowadays, they do light outside. In Chutz Lorenz, we light inside. A lot of people light in their windowsill so people outside can see it, but we're still lighting inside. Now with that in mind, we'll take a look at this mimer. Masha madlikin ata bifnim. So he says from the Maggid of Mezirich, nowadays, we light inside. Now he's going to talk about it from the Avodas Hashem Hashkafa perspective. We just discussed the halachic part of it. Because we understand that in our very lengthy galus, we are very low right now, spiritually in a low place. Now here comes the four words which are the thrust of it. The gam bifnim nimsach chitzonius. The outside forces are now inside as well. So this is what he means. I have to elaborate. He's saying that it used to be inside the house was pure and holy. You lit the menorah outside because that's where the negative oppositional forces were. The Greek culture and Roman culture, they were outside. So you put the menorah out there in order to drive those forces away. But he says to the Maggid, now, after a lengthy galus, the outside forces have come inside of our home. So we need the menorah inside the house to drive those forces away and to purify our homes. So the halachic reason was danger. The pnimiyistic reason from the Maggid is that one of the purposes of the light of the menorah is to drive away those forces. Being that they have crept inside, we want to put the light of the menorah inside and drive those forces away. And therefore, umiskayem pesach beso mibachutz kanal. So he says, really, we are fulfilling the purpose of the menorah as it was originally, where the Chachamim said, light it by your doorway on the outside, mi bachutz. He says, we really are doing that, even though we're lighting inside, because we are driving away those forces that used to be out there. Now we do it by putting the menorah in here. My Rebbe Zatzara Vitorsky used to say, you can close the door on the culture, but it will seep in the windows. That's the world that we live in. So we need the menorah inside to purify our homes. And then that line, and it's going to reiterate it because it's so powerful, the gam bifnim nimtza chitzonius. The chitzonius is inside as well. Okay, so now we've got two levels so far. We have the menorah that used to be all the way outside in earlier times. We have the menorah in our time, which is inside our house. Now he wants to take it one more level. V'haklal, levakesh rachamim mehashem yisbora. So, but either way, the general principle is we have to daven to Hashem sha'al yidei hadlokas haneros, that by means of lighting the Hanukkah lift, nuchal legaresh machshavos haraos lifrosh mechitzonius, that we can drive away all negative, destructive forces that affect us, and that we can be poresh, we can separate ourselves from those outside influences. So really, this Vaisemis there, as I see it, he took it one more level. He took it inside the person. So he got the menorah outside the house originally, the menorah inside the house as it is now, then the menorah inside the person. That's that one line there. This Vaisemis is very concise, does not elaborate too much in general. So we have to weigh his words very carefully. So when he says, I'm going to read that line again, V'haklal levakesh rachamim mehashem yisborach, shal yidei hadlokas haneros nuchal legaresh machshavos haraos, that by means of our lighting of the candles, we are davening to Hashem to drive out our machshavos haraos. That's inside the person now. Our thoughts that are not okay, that have been affected, influenced, corrupted by the cultures around us, that we have now absorbed them so deeply. Lifrosh miachitzonius. Kanal. V'tzorich ha'adam l'ha'amin l'chachamim. A person here, Jewish person, has to have strong faith in our chachamim, because remember that the Yom Tov of Chanukah is the Rabbanan. Shesamchu harbe al neis hazeh. The Chachamim were so meich. It's really a great word. It means they relied on it. The Chachamim relied on this miracle to support us. They supported themselves on it. The Kavuhu liyamim tovim ledoros, and they established it as a Yom Tov for all successive generations. But the Sfasemet says somewhere else that the light of Hanukkah is so powerful that it lasts to the end of history. It's a light that never goes away. So each Hanukkah that comes around, we're drawing on that light. So that's the essence of the mimer, that we are meant to take the menorah inside our house now to purify our own homes and have the light of the menorah be metahir our home. We're meant to take that inside our own selves. And the way you do that, he says, is through tefillah, lighting the menorah, and then through tefillah to be mevakesh rachamim, that Hashem purifies us internally as well. And the menorah then accomplishes its purpose. Closing with the idea that the chachamim held by this Yom Tov very strongly, and they were so mechana, that we are supported by the light of Hanukkah. Now we've all heard many times the ideas that Hanukkah occurs in the winter, it's the darkest time. It's Yavan, which is darkness, the Choshech of Yavan. The menorah is lit in a low place traditionally because we're bringing light into dark places. All of that is about the theme of Hanukkah, and therefore it means that we really have the ability to take its light into those places. Now, what is the Or of Hanukkah? Now that we're talking about it, the Bnei Yisoskor writes from the Rokeach, who's a Rishon, that the light of Hanukkah and the light of the Hanukkah lift is the Or HaGanus. It's the hidden light that Hashem hid away in the time of Bereishis. So Rashi says in the Torah that there was a special light. Hashem saw the Rishoim would misuse the light, so he hid the light, Or HaGanus, the Tzadikim La'asid Lavo. The Baal Shem Tov asked the question, okay, where is it? Where did God hide it? We want to know. And he says it's in the Torah. The light is in the Torah. That's where the Or HaGanus is. And the Bnei Yisoskor writes from Rav Pinchas Kortzer in the Rokeach that the Or HaGanus is also in the Hanukkah candles. So when we light it, that light comes into us. So when he's saying here that the Chachamim were koveya, this Yom Tov, and that the light would penetrate our lives every year, all the way through history, we're saying that that original light does have an opportunity to filter into the world and to filter into our own lives. And we have to recall that that light was so great that normally speaking, Hashem was concerned, so to speak, it would be misused. So apparently when it comes through the Neros of Hanukkah, that concern is not present. But why do we still have the same concern? Or doesn't Hashem say, well, I can't let it go through the light of the Hanukkah candles because maybe people will misuse it? Apparently there is a shmira, a built-in protection when it comes into the world through the menorah, that it will come in and it will be safe. Now, I think that there's the halacha corollary to this, which is that you're not allowed to benefit from the Hanukkah candles. Right? You can't read by the light. According to many poskim, which we hold by l'chadchila, you can't even learn Torah by the light of the menorah. You can't hold up a sefer. You cannot benefit from its light at all. Ve'ein lanu reshus lehish tamesh bohem, as we say in Aneros Halalu. We have no permission to use them. So I think the halachic part of that is that because the Or HaGanuz is coming down now, this hidden light that God does not want people to tamper with, and he was so concerned about that that he hid it in Bereshis. He brings it down to the menorah, and he says to us, just sit there. Right? Don't tamper with the light. Don't read by it. Don't use it. Don't even count money by it, the halacha says. Something very quick, that'll just take you a second. Just let the light seep in. And as an extension of that thought, also from Rabbi Twersky's Zatzal, he said that we're meant to just let the light affect us by watching it. And hence the minhag to sit by the candles. Many even have the minhag to sit a half an hour by the candles, say Tehillim, and just watch the light of the Neros. It's coming down. Please, Mio, yeah.
If you're saying Tehillim, then you have something in front of you.
Yeah, so you don't do that by the light of the menorah.
Oh, I see.
You make sure to use a different light.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lamp that's nearby when I do that, and I use the light of the lamp to read my Tehillim by. Yeah, please, Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual light.
There's something spiritual that comes into our homes through the light.
Yes.
But we don't have any more understanding of that.
We know that it's the Or HaGanuz. We know that's what that light is.
What is that?
All right, so what is the Or HaGanuz, right? Okay, so a thought. At the time the Or HaGanuz was filtering into this world, it was before the Chet of Adam and Chava, the very beginning of creation. So I think it's a light that comes into the world which is unaffected by Chet. It's a Kodem HaChet type of light. It's even Kodem human being. Yeah, Hashem hid it before Adam and Chava were created. So it's so pure that it's one of the few things that we have in our world that comes in without any distortion. It's not tainted. It's not compromised whatsoever. And in a certain way, that's very hard for us to relate to because we live in so much darkness. But that's kind of how I, you know, reach for it. I asked the question that you asked, Dori. I asked that to the Ma'alot young women who I teach. We learned this mimer last week. And I said, what do you think it is? So one of the girls said, hope. And I thought that was a very good answer. She thought that it's hope, that a person can always, always be better because Hashem can help us be better. There's always hope. And I thought that was a really insightful answer. And, you know, Jews live on hope, like we are now, right now, in the midst of the chaos happening in the United Nations and Obama. You know, I'll just say on the side, I said to the Rebbe Sidon Har, with the passage of that resolution against Israel and the United Nations and the United States not vetoing the resolution as they always have, and allowing the world to attack Israel once again. First of all, very proud of Israel and standing up very strong against the condemnation and really not backing down. I think that's just the way that we should be, unapologetic and completely knowing that the hatred is so deep from those quarters, the United Nations, and the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish sentiment is so deep that we just have to stand strong about who we are and this is our land. So there's a Midrash in Megillas Esther, Midrash Rabbah, when Haman is choosing the gallows to hang Mordechai on, and he takes this big tree, 50 amos high, and he's concerning himself with it and preparing it. It's big, it's strong, it's public. So the Malachim are saying in Shemayim, "Oh, Haman, what a nice tree you're choosing for your own hanging." So that's how I thought of this. Now, people think that they're hanging the Jewish people, but in Shemayim, they're looking down and saying, "You're hanging yourselves." Yeah, please, Ms. French.
Many times when we say the brachos for the menorah, like, I have to have kavana by yomim ha'heng basman hazeh. No need for special kavana.
Right. We got it right on our plate, right. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't want the whole... I could talk about it for the whole time, right? Because we're talking about it on our last day. So let's do one. We'll make one comment, just because I don't want to get too sidetracked onto that.
Do you think this could be Yaakov Levado now without necessarily having all of
them? Well, it's possible Yaakov Levado. We are. Hein am Levadod Yishkon. But my observation right now is that there's two Americas. There's two United States of Americas right now. Now, 60 million people voted one way, and 60 million people voted the other way. And I'm here like two different countries when I listen to the radio, just around this point, around the election, the Trump and Hillary Clinton election. There's two countries. And around this point of Israel. There are a lot of Americans right now who are really strongly supporting Israel in a very vocal, powerful way. Like, this is horrible. You can't do this. You're stabbing our best ally in the back.
This is exactly my question.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is the way that possibly we can avoid having the true destruction of America as the representative of
I don't know those things. Obviously, it's too vast for me to know about, and in terms of America and where it stands, but I see half of America, obviously those are just, I'm painting it with a very broad brush, there's a lot more subtlety than that, but half of America down the drain in so many ways, and half of America very strong and very clear on their values, and a lot of those people came out recently in this past election and with this Israel vote. So who knows what's going to happen with the United States of America, but I do see hope in America based on the many vocal supporters of Israel. And we know historically that people who support the Jews do well, and people who don't support the Jews and who turn against the Jews, they ultimately pay the price. Yeah, we could use a little Ruach HaKodesh. That would help a lot. Yeah, please. Okay.
Okay, so this is going back.
Okay.
I have two questions.
Yeah. Okay, so, right, so I'm so glad you said that. I meant to circle back to that. So he said, the outside world has come into our homes, right? So the Sfas-Emes wrote this. This Maimon was written in the 1880s. He's quoting the Magid, who died in 1772. And they're already talking about the outside has come. They were living in Eastern Europe in ghettos and shtetlach, you know, and like the outside world was very outside relative to where we are now. When we breathe its air, you know, it's unbelievable that they could see this already in their time. I might have shared the story with you before. A great story about Rabbi Taub, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, previous Rabbi Taub, just Rabbi Shai Taub's father, who was here for so many decades, a truly special and great person. So he once said, someone was interviewing him, and they were talking about the outside world and this topic that we're talking about. And he said, let me share with you what the outside world was where I grew up in pre-Holocaust Czechoslovakia. He lived in a little town, a little village. He said once a year there was a circus that passed by a few miles from his town. And he remembers the parents of the children arguing about whether or not they should go to the circus a couple miles away. He said, that was the outside influence when I grew up. And that always struck me. That was not that long ago, right? 1920s, 1930s. And that was his concept of the outside world. And I'll put that against this, which is even earlier in history, and then against where we live now. So it's more than just the outside world has crept in a little bit, right? We are completely engulfed by it, yeah. We need that Hanukkah light very badly. One more question. Okay, I'll go to Whitney Robinson, please. Yeah, please. Uh-huh.
Okay, I just wanted to ask also, like when we say that divine presence doesn't go under like 10
tefachim, and Hanukkah does. Right.
What does that really mean, that the Shekhinah doesn't go to the low place? The Shekhinah is
everywhere. Everywhere, right. So my understanding is that it's usually hidden. It doesn't go in a revealed way. Beneath ten tefachim, right? Whatever that means, at right? Some level of, you know, our world, which is very dark. So it's there, but it's, you know, very much
it's
concealed.
That the Shekhinah is usually revealed.
No, well, the Shekhinah is not revealed, but there are levels of revelation of the Shekhinah. This is the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes this. So, Yerushalayim, that area, Eretz Yisrael, that holy part of the world, that has the most revelation of Shekhinah. Chutz La'aretz has less. In our times, we're talking about, even in our times, you go into a Beis HaKnesses, that's the Beis Midrash, there's a greater revelation of the Shekhinah than there is outside of this room. There's always degrees. So usually, the Shekhinah does not go less than 10 tefachim. We don't really know what that means. It's some kind of low, material, physical, dark place. But that means to say that it's completely concealed in that lowest part of our lives. But on Hanukkah, it's not. On Hanukkah, the light is so great that it opens itself up even in low places. Even in places where it's usually very hidden, on Hanukkah, it comes in and it's revealed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please, Robinson.
I don't know if I can ask this question artfully, but first of all, it seems like there were influences that always crept in. What does that mean? Like, the whole story of Hanukkah, how long ago was that? That was the
2,500 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Influx and influence from the mm-hmm. outside that came right mm-hmm. into the home.
Right.
And people were practicing it in their homes. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the first time we had problems with the Avodah Zarah. We had problems with the Avodah Zarah right. all throughout history.
Right.
So, to me, that I don't understand that, what that means. Now, just 200 years ago, it's starting to creep in. It seems like it's been, I understand there was a particular Yetzer Hara that we don't have anymore. And maybe,
for Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Right.
So maybe that spoke more to that than the influence creeping in, but to the Yetzer Hara that was there. But then that's another point to be aware of, that okay, maybe you could, and it's important to stand up to your culture and be guarded, but that doesn't eliminate the Yetzirah that is within the person, it doesn't make us completely pure just because we've managed to, you know, stand up to the culture.
Yeah. I agree with you completely that you always have had this in history, whether it's to one degree or another. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, especially in the time of the Bayis Rishon, we were a lot less vulnerable in terms of Kedusha, except for that Avodah Zorah problem that we had. But in terms of the Kedusha of our homes, in Bayis Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech, right before the Bayis, that was a whole different era. And once we have Bayis Sheni, and preceding Bayis Sheni, and then in Bayis Sheni, everything changes. And Hanukkah is really a part of that, that the Greeks did infiltrate. But b'chol zos, there was still the idea that the Jewish home is pure and holy. So obviously to a degree, it's never perfect, but to a degree, it's still pure and holy. And then that changed too. And I think the last part of this Vas Emes is the last point that you make, Rebbe, in that no matter where we are, the Yetzer Hara is there, right? We're not in Mashiach's time yet, where we don't have to contend with Ra. There is no place that you can go where there's no Ra, because the Yetzer Hara is here, the Satan is here. And I think that's his last line. Yeah, you can talk about the menorah outside, you can talk about the menorah inside, but remember, the menorah's got to go inside, because that battle never ends. That's always going to be a part of our relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu's, to work on what's happening inside of us. And whether the influences are strong or weak, it's inside of us. And the light of the menorah helps to purify us in that way. Gil, did you ever had that before?
Yeah, I don't know if I missed. The Or HaGanuz available to us any other time?
The Or HaGanuz is in the Torah. So it's available through learning Torah and living Torah. And that's also a shmira for it, because they're clothed in the Torah. Hanukkah. And some of this forum say it's also present in the Shabbos candles too.
Mm-hmm. And in the womb.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that light, the light of that we learn Torah by the light of a candle from a malach in the womb. I don't know if that's Or HaGanuz or not.
I thought he wrote that in that
Did he? Okay, I don't remember. That could be. So I don't know. Miriam,
yeah,
please.
Yes, I believe Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I don't know much about him really, but he lived in Europe, I think, around the 1700s.
Right, early 1700s, right.
So he maintained very strongly that the biggest nace is the survival of the Yidden in history through all the thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. That it's absolutely miraculous, because, like, how did the Yidden ever go out of Mitzrayim? It's, according to logical sources, it's inexplicable. Like, it's historical, but
right.
No other people ever left.
Did that, right.
Yes, and no other people, survived through the desert, and no other people went to Eretz Yisrael and survived there for many years. And like, there's so many examples that he said no other people ever came back to its homeland after the 70-year Golus, and well, he wasn't there for the present time
right.
When people came back to its homeland. But he says it's beyond. This is not humanly possible.
But right.
It's not.
It isn't.
Like, all this, if people, historians study Jewish history, it's outside the pale where it can be explained by history.
Yeah, absolutely. I read a story recently that there was a person studying in a military exercises, either in university or in West Point, one of those military schools. And the professor, who was a general, was bringing examples of, you know, various military victories. So the guy said, why don't you bring an example of the Israelis' victory in the Six-Day War? So the professor said, you can't. That was a miracle. Yeah, he said, you can't. You can't bring it. So it was a miracle. Yeah. That was not any yeshiva. Yeah, please, Linda. Yeah.
I never got a satisfactory answer to the halakhic reason for why the candles, the menorah candles, need to be on the same level, even except for the shamans. I suppose there's probably some very deep spiritual meaning to that besides the halakhic reason.
Well, the halakhic reason is that it's supposed to be noticeable what night of Hanukkah it is. So when you have a lot of candles that are different heights and different levels, people can look at it and not know exactly what's what. So if everything in a straight line, it's five candles, it's the fifth day of Hanukkah, it's recognizable, it's nicker, that's the halakhic reason. And the Rama writes that the candles should not be in different places, but rather in a shura. That's also why the... some of the more, let's say, Judaica menorahs, sometimes they're kind of going up like in a circle like that, fancy. It's nice for a museum piece, but it's not okay for a menorah because you're not fulfilling this halacha about having them in the same line. That's
so it's idea. Just a straight halacha thing that you should know what kind of it is.
There's always deeper meaning. There's always deeper meaning, right? always deeper meaning. And that's just a kemuvan. That anything that's a halacha has always a deeper spiritual meaning. That's how Torah works. Yeah. Do you mind if I just go on? I want to just make sure to get to the next mimer, okay? Okay, so we're on the first page now, on 193, where the arrow is on the right side of the page. The Sefer Kedushas Levi. Did we do this?
No.
Okay, I didn't think we did. Pirish Bizman Hazeh Mamish. So, Mrs. Fran, you just mentioned by Yami Mohem Bizman Hazeh. The question about that is that a redundant phrase? In those days, in this time? So the Kedushas Levi, who the Sfas Emes is quoting, says it's two separate phrases. By Yami Mohem means what happened then. Bazman Hazem means it's happening now. So we've seen this principle before in the Ramchal and also in other Sforim, that the original light that was present when the Yom Tov happened comes into the world each time the Yom Tov comes back around on the Jewish calendar. So whatever happened spiritually on Hanukkah a couple thousand years ago, it's happening now too. That's Bizman Hazem. Atah. Sheyesh b'chol shavah, because each and every year there is a he'ora, a radiant light, mehanisim shehayu az, from the miracles, shehayu az, which occurred then, ayin shah. Ach mikol makam, but still. So that was the Kedushas Levi. Now this is the Sfas Emes trying to grapple with what the Kedushas Levi said. Lehargish ha'orat hanes, to feel, or a better word is to perceive the light of the miracle. A little bit like your question, Dori, that what is this? How do you get it? Tzoricha odam lihiyos nifrash mehateva. A person has to be separated from nature. Oh, okay, that's easy, right? We'll just separate ourselves. Okay, right now I'm separate from nature, right? But I'm hungry, right? I'm tired. I guess I'm not so separate from nature than I thought. So how do you do it? Separated from nature. Like we live in nature. Ukefima she'eno mishuka b'teva. So it's all degrees. It's all level of degree. To the extent that a person is not embedded in nature, mishuka, like embedded, sunk in nature, v'gashmius, and physical reality, yecholin lehargish. To that extent, we can perceive the miracle. So to whatever degree we lift ourselves out of our own desires and our natural inclinations and anger and taiva and kavod and all the things that bring us down into the world, to the degree that we can lift ourselves above that, we're getting closer to that light which is shining. Kinesu lamala mehateva, because by definition a miracle is above nature. So if you're in nature, how do you get it? We try and lift ourselves above. All right, so we're hammering away here in our lives and in the context of our lives and with all the things that we need to do as physical people. But we're Jews, So we're trying to conquer our physical selves. We're trying to master our physical selves. Very hard. Lumikol makam says, but still, don't worry, you have something right now which helps. Al yidei ha-mitzvah, the mitzvah itself, ner Chanukah, of lighting the Chanukah candle, lihiyos nidbak, b'masha l'ma'ala me'hateva, it helps us to get close, nidbak, cling, to that which is above nature. The person says, well, I know myself, I'm not above nature, I'm fighting, how can I grasp that light? Light a Hanukkah candle. It will propel you upward. That's what he's saying here. That by means of the Ner Hanukkah itself. Now he takes this and he makes it very broad. It's a yesod in Avodas Hashem and in mitzvot. A very broad statement he's about to make. Shezeh ikur bechinas ha-mitzvot. He says every mitzvah does this. It takes a person and it attaches a person to that which is above the realm of nature. So it's not only the Ner Chanukah that does this and helps us to transcend, to rise above our nature, to receive that light, but any mitzvah by definition is doing this. Af she'osa inyone olam hazeh. And that's the Pella. We're doing a physical thing when we do a mitzvah. A lulav is a physical thing. It's a branch from a tree.
How about a
suda? And a suda. And a shofar. These are physical things. A candle is a physical thing. That's the Pella. Mikol makom yuchal lihiyos nidbak al yidei or ha-mitzvos shehem bibechinas asiyo gashmias. But the light which is inside that physical mitzvah will take us upward. So normally, when we do something physical, we become more physical. That's the principle. You get involved in the physical world, it kind of takes you down. Not so with a mitzvah. It's a physical act, but it takes you up. And that is really a wonder. How does that work? It works because Hashem put Kedusha in there. It's like a little box. How do you open the box? By doing the mitzvah. What's inside the box? Spiritual light. God put it there. In this case, in Hanukkah, the Chachamim put it there. Hanukkah and Purim. They did the same thing, so to speak, that Hashem did. They put that light in that mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So he's telling us, we want to grasp this light? Well, engage in the mitzvah. It will lift us out of our physical selves to an extent. Like any mitzvah does. But this is more special because it's a mitzvah hayom. Now he's going to add one more dimension to it. So before we do this, let me ask you a question. There's a few mitzvahs of Hanukkah. One is Hadlakas Neros. What are the other mitzvahs of Hanukkah? Halo v'hoda'ah. Those are the mitzvahs of Hanukkah. So he says, V'adoni avi, I'll do all the Rosh Tevos here. Va'adoni, Avi, Zekeni, Mori, Verabi, Zecher, Tzadik, Livrach, Lachai, Olam, Haba. And that's that. So he says from his grandfather, that's the Chidushe Harim, Omar, he says, quoting the Gemara, Kavum, Yomim, Tovim, Bahalo, V'Hoda'a. The Chachamim established these days as Yom Tov with Halo and Hoda'a. Halo means, just as it sounds, saying Halo every day of Hanukkah and Shacharis. A full hollow. Hoda'a means al hanisim. So the Chachamim said, there's another aspect of the mitzvahs hayom of Hanukkah besides halakas ner Hanukkah. Give thanks to Hashem and praise Him. Well, don't we always have to do that? Yes, but on Hanukkah it's special. Hallow v'hoda. Shetiknu. So the Chachamim were mesaken sh'al yidei hallow v'hoda'a. By means of our hallow and our hoda'a, Ya'orer ha'adam ha'oras hayamim. A person can awaken that spiritual light which is present in this time. Sheyihiyu niftachim u'me'irim lo, that they will open up and shine for him. So there's a few avenues on Hanukkah to reach that spiritual light which is here And we have to be poresh min hateva to get it, which is awfully hard to do. So, okay, it's all right, we understand that. Light a Hanukkah candle, do halal and hoda'ah. And by doing that, you're going to take yourselves off of the earth and lift ourselves up to the light of Hanukkah. That opens up the door, because they're the mitzvahs hayom. V'chein pirish zecher asa l'nifil asa. It takes a pasuk in Tehillim. Hashem makes a zecher for his wonders. Lihiyos nizkar ha'oras hanisim v'haniflaos b'chol shana. That each and every year the light of the miracle is literally remembered, but it means it's brought back. Bayomim ha'heim. During those special days, ad kan devarav. That's just similar to the first thing, that there's always something coming back from the nes. So when we do the mitzvah hayom of Hanukkah, that attaches us, memela, to the light that's coming down, that or that special light of Hanukkah that's filtering into the world. The yesod is one that applies to all mitzvahs, but the prat, the specific of it, applies to Hanukkah in this time. And especially because the mitzvah has to do with light. It's very direct when it comes to Hanukkah. It's directly involved with light. Any comments or questions? Yeah, please, Alka. Yes.
Really separate the nisim galulim and the nisim that are hidden.
Right.
So, has that been?
The fact that nature is a nes is true, like the Ramban says, that the fact that the world exists is an ongoing miracle. That's a different kind of a miracle. That's the nes of teva, that there's such a thing as teva in the world. And normally, that is not so penetrable. That particular nace is one that's very covered over by the physical reality. There are very great and holy people who penetrate that nace. A story in the Gemara, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, as they're looking for something to light. So his daughter says, there's no oil, we can't light. So he says, Rabbi Hanina Mendoza said, well, the one who said that oil will light, so vinegar will light too. Here's vinegar. And it lit. So for him, it's the same. It's all Hashem's word, nature, beyond nature. It's all Hashem's ratzon and his devar. But for most of us, who are not Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, there's this teva type of nes, which is, again, not something we can usually get through to. We can lift teva by being involved in, for the sake of avodas Hashem. But then there's an actual Nes lamala min hateva. And that's what he's talking about over here. So we're trying to lift ourselves out of our chains that hold us down into nature to get that higher nes form of light, not the teva type of light. Yeah, listen, please.
So maybe similar to that, not like the story that you said with Hanina, but the point is that it is exactly the teva that we're using to, so to speak, be higher than teva.
Right.
So that you're recognizing, in other words, we don't have an allegiance to abstinence. We're not conquering nature by being above it, but we're conquering it by having a sudas mitzvah, or a ner mitzvah, or whatever the things are, but they are physical things, and they occur in teva. So it's not the same as, because he seemingly could do that in a chol situation.
Right.
We need a situation of a mitzvah, but still the vehicle that the mitzvah is clothed in is nature.
Right.
Is teva. So,
it is.
So we
and
are
that's his point.
Right. So that I'm just saying, I don't know how to really fit it to what else.
Because without the mitzvah, right, the world of teva without the mitzvah, just the world of chol that we normally live in. When you have a mitzvah in the world of teva, then that's what he's saying here, that it unlocks, it releases us from teva. Let's say we're not doing a mitzvah at that particular moment. We're involved in the world of chol. That's going to tie us down more so. Unless we're at the madrega where everything we do in the world of chol is somehow connecting us to our avodas Hashem, which we're striving for.
So I guess what I'm hearing is like the idea that being released from teva is, to me, it's not that we're, it has to define teva, because Elka was saying, but don't we say that teva is Hashem? Teva isn't something outside
from
of Hashem. So what does it mean, release yourself from teva? It seems to me that it's more releasing yourself from a mentality than releasing yourself from the actual world that God created, that He's ever present in every aspect and particle of it.
See, but not quite, because the world of Teva is that which Hashem created in order to hold us down. We're meant to be held down. We're not Malachim. So Hashem wants us to be held down by Teva, and then we have to work on conquering Teva and doing the Milchama that we have of Seichel over Guf and Neshama over Guf. So Teva is a creation from Hashem which normally holds us down. But that's what Hashem wants. That's based on the Derech Hashem, that our Avoda is in the world of Chol. And he also says there, we may have seen this once, the Ramchal, really one mitzvah should totally transform a human being and make us a completely other being. One mitzvah. Because the light of a mitzvah is so powerful. So the Ramchal says, so why doesn't it? He said, it's a gezeira min hashamayim. It's a decree from heaven when a person is born that the mitzvahs that we do will not completely transform us into another human being. Because otherwise they would. So God's holding us back in order for us to have bechira.
And we're fighting.
Right.
I thought it was one kind of limited question. I was thinking about that, the candles all being the same.
Yeah.
And the laning that we have all during Hanukkah is the karbanos that were brought from all the Shvatim, and they were
all the same.
Exactly the same.
Because it's
but
nice.
They were all completely different.
Right. All the same, but all different. Right. Right. That's nice. Very nice. Nice. Thank you. Dori, you had a hand up before, I think. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. The Kedusha in Hanukkah.
Yes. Right.
And those are supposed to be the two Yom Tov that will stay
always.
Right. So is that Kedusha even higher than, or is it
in a certain way it is, because that's the idea when Hashem says to the Chachamim, like Yashar Koach, you bested me.
Right.
I'm so proud of you. He's saying to us,
right.
Make something out of this. Like more, I saw recently that in Shemayim that all the Chachamim have one opinion, Hashem has another opinion. They're arguing with God. No, but that's what He wants. So when the Chachamim make a Yom Tov, it's like Hashem is saying to us, nice work. That's going to stay forever. Yashar Koach.
And both those times it was questionable, should we have that Yom Tov?
Right, right. So they saw the Chacham, in this respect it was Min HaShemayim, the Chachamim saw Lashono HaAcheres, the next year. It says both by Hanukkah and by Purim that they made it a Yom Tov. So why did they wait? So the Hasidish Sforim say because they were waiting to see if that light was going to come back.
And they could perceive that.
Right. So when they perceived that the previous year's light came back, then they understood that's a permanent miracle. Because there were a lot of Yom Tovim that we celebrated in the time of the Beis HaMikdash that were canceled when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was a scroll, the Gemara mentions, called Megillas Tainis. It's still available in book form. So the Megillas Tainis are all these days during the time of the Beis HaMikdash we were not allowed to fast. We were not allowed to have eulogies. Why? Because miracles happened for the Jewish people on these days and great events. But they were not long-lasting. They were just during the Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all those Yom Tovim were abolished. Except for two, Hanukkah and Purim, because they are mentioned in Megillas Tainis.
What's Sefer?
Megillas Tainis. The Scroll of Tainis. And it's called Megillas Tainis because you're not allowed to make a Tainis on those days. You can't fast. It's mentioned in the Gemara times. Yeah, please, Raya.
There's so many that aura is coming through and that we can gather.
And it's helping us.
And it's helping us.
Right.
There's so many that it's helping us get through the
galus. Right. Yeah, I think the word that they are relying on it because they know that it's the light of Hanukkah that gets us through Golus. And they, in our lashon, they really hold by it, you know. They know that it is giving us life and support and chiyus, and it's taking us through this dark exile. Now, we perhaps think of Hanukkah as something that occurs 8 days a year, and it's here in Kislev and a little bit of Tevis, and then it's gone. But they're really saying that it's supporting us. You know, because of that light that comes down on Hanukkah, we are able to survive this galus. Sandy, please. Very good. Yeah, it's very true. We live in a Greek world in many ways, and they were really trying, the Greeks, to hold us down, not to rise higher, not to be a holy people. You can't hold down the Jews. Let's have a look at the Chronicle. Yeah, shouldn't please. Yeah, please.
Purim plays the same role, that it has
yes.
a light that keeps us going.
Absolutely. It's a very different light. The light of Purim and the light of Hanukkah are very different. Purim is the Suda and it's Shlach Manas and it's the very physical holiday. And that's going back to this discussion about physicality, and that is an example of being in the physical world and elevating it completely through the mitzvahs Hayom of Purim. Hanukkah is about a menorah and challah and hodah. You know, it's a whole different light.
Right. Make one, but it's not right. really part and
right.
parcel of it.
Right.
Just kind of
really yeah, please, Lydia.
Just, okay, women don't go to shul usually to say, no, we can't bless the menorah because our husbands are lighting. Does there, like, can my ashrei count to get
Well, first of all, you can say halal at home. You can say halal with the bracha. Woman.
Not as part of the
tzibur. Yeah, women in general are not in shul 6:30 in the morning. Absolutely.
To get us to that same place.
Absolutely. Anything that you do to praise Hashem on Hanukkah and to give Him thanks for the nes, you're being mekayim that mitzvah.
Enough to get us
that. Sure. Yeah. And similarly, whenever you bench and you say Al Hanisim,
right.
you're also, and then your mom is within the framework there. But, you know, the Rebbe was mentioning the poskim say that even though we don't have a Sudas Mitzvah on Hanukkah, but if you sing Zemiros at your table, it becomes a Sudas Mitzvah. That means any Zemiros of Shavach V'Hodoyah LaHashem is part of the Mitzvah of Hanukkah. Yeah. Freilichen Hanukkah, Lichtig Hanukkah, LaYehudim Hoysa'ora. We'll see you next week. We still have another week or two, don't we? I think we're one more week of the semester? Okay. Two? The 12th? Where are we now? What's today? So we have 2 weeks? Okay. Thank you. Take care, everybody. Enjoy your menorah.